BZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Trump's bid to end birthright citizenship has been blocked nationwide.
U.S. District Judge John Kuhnauer has issued a preliminary injunction, meaning the Trump administration cannot deny citizenship to children born on American soil of immigrant parents.
Birthright citizenship is a fundamental constitutional right.
In his ruling, Judge Kuhnauer, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, took the president to task.
The rule of law is, according to him, something to navigate around or simply ignore, whether that be for political or personal gain.
The administration says it plans to appeal. Jeff Pogula, ABC News, Seattle.
Labor pains in Denver, where 10,000 King Soopers grocery store workers are on strike, claiming unfair labor practices as their union attempts to negotiate a contract. Alabama used nitrogen gas to execute Demetrius Frazier, condemned for the 1991 home invasion rape homicide of a woman in her home in Birmingham. This is ABC News. Local police agencies in California have a problem. They're barred by state law from participating in immigration investigations. One sheriff now doing outreach.
Local police here in California worry the migrant community will refuse to report crimes or work with agencies because of the ongoing immigration action, which California police cannot legally take part in. But ICE vests say police. ICE agents drive police-looking vehicles, and so now the sheriff in San Joaquin County is going into the fields to tell workers they don't need to fear his deputies, and he fears criminals will act as ICE to take advantage of scared farm workers.
Do not let somebody victimize you and scare you and say that we will call immigration.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Automakers Honda and Nissan will not be merging. Nissan rejected Honda's proposal that would have made it a subsidiary, with Honda owning 100% of the stock. A source familiar with the negotiation says the gap is too wide. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day. The guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet.
Yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
More trade deals by the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. We told you about the Bucks trading 33-year-old Chris Middleton to the Wizards for two players, Kyle Kuzma and former UWM star Patrick Baldwin. Today, the Bucks sent Baldwin and some cash to the San Antonio Spurs. That opened up a roster spot for Milwaukee, so they traded third-year man Marjon Beauchamp to the Clippers for Kevin Porter Jr., a 24-year-old point guard. Last night, the Bucks added Jericho Sims, a fourth-year center from the Knicks, for guard DeLon Wright. Meanwhile, the Bucks beat the Hornets last night in Charlotte, 112-102. That ended a four-game losing streak. Afterwards, Brooke Lopez talked about when he learned that the team had traded Chris Middleton.
I wasn't aware of it until Doc mentioned it at film session, so it definitely hit me as a shock. You know, I've known Chris for a long time now. You know, I've got to know him personally, so I had to fight from tearing up a little bit, honestly. You know, it's an emotional moment for me.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Connor Krieger. For your superhero fans and animation lovers, Invincible Season 3 has come out on Prime Video. It follows Mark Grayson, Stephen Yang, as an average teenager who discovers he's a son of the all-powerful Omni-Man. Soon after, he learns that he has powers too, when he finds out his father was actually sent to enslave the Earth and not protect it. He's forced to choose between humanity and family. The show has debuted with a 100% fresh critic score. Catch all of Season 3 on Prime Video. The first trailer for Marvel's Fantastic Four, First Steps, has dropped, seeing Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, and the Bears' Ebon Moss Bachrach becoming Ben Grimm, a.k.a. The Thing. It's a fast trailer that shows what you can expect from CGI to the cast as the characters. Check out the trailer on YouTube. Fantastic Four First Steps hits theaters July 25th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with a few flurries and snow showers. Lows of 0 to 5 below, a touch breezy. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs close to 20. Snow Friday night and Saturday, several inches possible. Currently, it's 4.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a Law Review, will sit in for me. I'm taking the day off. I'll see you on Monday.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home.
You're
for
listening
Matt
to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut it, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Karagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, native issues are human issues, and human issues are native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, let's get our friend Robert Lilligren on right away here. And I know he's got a crunch time here. Things to do and people to see, but we always want to check in with Robert here and as long as we can. So welcome, Robert, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, Minneapolis, and a lot moving here. Our friends are going back to the house, and we're going to have, they're going to be playing nice in the Capitol now.
Yeah, bonjour, Haley, bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me on today. Always a pleasure to be with you, and as a lot of folks know, but some may not, our state legislature has been at sort of a stall or a stalemate. We have some unresolved election issues. We have very close margins or essentially ties in our House. Our Senate was tied for a while. That's since been resolved. And so it's been an exercise in negotiating power sharing and also sort of expressing the authorities you have. So our Democratic Party, which is the Democratic Farmer Labor Party here in Minnesota, DFL, has sort of boycotted the House session until they could negotiate this power sharing. There's a special election coming up, which will kind of restore balance, literally a tie within our House. So they finally negotiated this power sharing and they all went back to work today.
Yeah, wow, that's great. And also, you know, the Democrats have saved what seemed to be like a power grab. And so pushing back. And one of the things I want to say, Robert, too, is I was watching, and I mentioned this, I think, yesterday. I was watching KSTP TV and their polls, and I was just kind of going, oh, here we go. And the polls were big time in for the Democrats, all except for getting paid by not working. But I was pleasantly surprised that because it seems like the news was really slanted one way towards the Republicans. And it was good to see that. And I think maybe that's part of why the Republicans finally came back to the table.
You know, I think that's right. I do have to say, you know, it was kind of a risky strategy for the Democrats, but I do feel that people supported that. You know, it was clear the open seat that election is being, special elections being held for, is a strongly Democratic district. And so it's pretty clear to everyone that it'll be a tie at the end of the day, exactly a split House. And so the kind of grown-up thing to do is to negotiate that power sharing. the Republicans tried to sort of seize control of the whole legislative session. And our Secretary of State, who by law is the convener of the House until they've elected their own leadership, determined that because there was not a majority, a quorum of members present, they couldn't do any business. The courts upheld that determination, and so we were just kind of stalled out. The Republican caucus was going into the sort of into faux session every day, passing laws with zero Democrats and without a quorum present. So none of that really matters. And so now I can't wait to see more of the details of this power sharing agreement. I know the Republican leader will be speaker at least through 2026, and we'll see how the committee chairs are divvied up. I think the Republicans will be in their chairs until March or something, but it's very interesting. Okay. I think it's only the second time, or at least in my memory, that the House has been actually tied.
Yeah. Well, I know they were talking earlier before the person, I guess in Roseville, they found out that he didn't live in the district. They were talking about sharing, having co-leaders of each group.
Right. And that's what our state Senate did for the brief time they were actually tied due to a special election. They now have a majority. A really renowned senator from Minneapolis passed recently. Mm-hmm. And so the special election to fill her seat. So the Senate was actually tied for the start of the session. And they did. They negotiated power sharing. There were co-chairs, one from each party for the committees and leadership. And then once the Democrats regained the majority, then they voted that sort of power sharing agreement down. And now it's back in Democratic control.
Yeah. And a good thing. And because we've been all pretty nervous what's going on nationally, and we've always appreciated our local government here in Minnesota. And so we're back to normal in a sense. The tie is going to be a little difficult to get too much done. But, you know, we talked to a lot of representatives and senators on Native Roots Radio, and they seem to think that they can cross party lines with things. So that'd be great.
Right. Well, they're going to have to, right, figure out some bipartisan approaches, at least in the House, just to move anything. They're constitutionally obligated to pass a budget this session. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And I know you've been spending time over at the Capitol, right?
Yeah, one day for sure. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. You know, it's funny. I try to group, you know, count a group of people and then kind of see how many people are there, because it seems like the news is always lowballs us on our protest. And it was a great crowd. It was a little worrisome when I got there, because I didn't go to the college to march in there because, well, you know, I'm old and delicate. I needed to stay in my car for a bit. And I got there, and there was a couple hundred people there, and I went, oh, okay, that's cool. And then they started rolling in like a big parade. Nice. Two big parades came in, and it was well-received, and it was really interesting too, Robert. I kind of think of this as a good thing. There were no politicians there. This was all grassroots and really nice. Interesting.
Right. And what were you protesting?
Everything. Trump, yeah. Elon Musk, everybody, there was chants from impeachment, put them in the jail. There was all these things. So, and people got to speak their mind, and there was a lot of chanting and community, and hadn't seen that and been in a group like that for a few years. So I had to put my AIM jacket on with my Water is Life insignia that was done by Rory Wakeham about 7-8 years ago. And I had everything on except my red headband.
Great. Well, thanks for being there. Thanks for representing. And yeah, it did look, I wasn't there in person, but I was following it on social media. It looked like a good crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And I think it's just the start, especially with what's going on here. But Robert, I know we're gonna got a, only a minute left here in the segment, so maybe we can talk about this in the next one. But it seems like the courts are working now, the federal courts, and blocking a lot of stuff.
Right, right. And this whole strategy, right, planned chaos, and courts shouldn't have to be reversing or negating presidential actions, or presidential executive orders should be aligned with our Constitution and with our laws. And so this is strategic, you know, it's to wear us down. Yep. And I think it's having the opposite effect, right? It's bringing us together, energizing us in our resistance posture. And so it's going to be an interesting 4 years, but I feel like we are ready to face it.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and also a White Earth Ojibwe citizen. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Registration is open for the Community Connections Conference on February 8th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. It's a free, fun way to get involved in local decision-making. Join the city of Minneapolis for workshops, resources, music and dance, good food, a scavenger hunt, jobs, internships, and a conversation on community health. RSVP at minneapolismn.gov/CCC. That's minneapolismn.gov/CCC.
Thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. That's mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with our friend, Robert Lilligren from Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we are doing what we like to do, and that's talk politics here. And we're sneaking into the national realm there at the end of the segment. It's interesting that you mentioned a few shows ago that really his first term, he really only got the tax break for the billionaires passed, and everything else was kind of shot down and put through court, and kind of we're in part two here right now.
It is part two. You know, there's the Project 2025, so they have more of a plan. You know, they're implementing kind of right to the book on that, and it's just really unbelievable kind of what they think they can do, you know, dismantling the education at the federal level, dismantling all these things, threatening. They're using the new Attorney General Pam Bondi is now, she has like an enemies list that was generated by, I'm sure, the likes of Clarence Thomas and Trump, and so she's literally using the Department of Justice to go after these people that Trump views as enemies. I mean, it's totally weaponizing the federal government, you know, this firing federal employees, offering this buyout, which from what I'm reading doesn't really even exist. So right. People are taking them up on this buyout. Federal employees are going to find themselves SOL, as my mom would say, when it comes time to collect. So, yeah, it's just, it's flabbergasting. Every day is more shocking than the day before.
Well, I am more reasonable and back into mental health with that shock and awe really caught me and nations, Native nations across the country, not by surprise, but just probably by all the things that were happening. And, you know, we all have our allies, Republican and Democrat, when it comes to Indian country, but we seem to have lost them and any kind of allies. So it's really interesting. And one of the things, Robert, I wonder if you can explain to our listening audience why we are not really DEI. We're, you know, a sovereign nation. I wonder if you could explain that.
Well, I can explain a little. This isn't my area of expertise, but, you know, often indigenous people get kind of lumped in BIPOC, right? Like,
right.
We're all the same, and we're not. You're exactly right. We have a special status in this country, a political status, really, that defines us as citizens of sovereign nations or descendants of sovereign nations. And that puts us in a different category and a different class. And you can see from this this new Trump administration, they're trying to eliminate that, extinguish that, question even our U.S. birthright citizenship because we're citizens of other nations.
Right.
And then a lot of our relatives who, you know, are very dark-skinned, brown-skinned, they're being kind of caught up in these immigration sweeps. And so it's just seen a lot of the tribes here in Minnesota and across the country are really stepping up efforts to get tribal IDs in everyone's pockets and setting these what to do if ICE shows up at your work or at your home or in front of you, and we need to protect ourselves.
Well, I know Ho-Chunk Nation out of Wisconsin are going to pay back people if they get their passports.
Sure.
And that's huge, too. And we're going to modernize our IDs to make them the new ID that you have to get in May, the true ID or whatever they call it now. So it'll have that striping in there or the certain star or whatever that has to be in the real ID that they're talking about.
So I've had my enhanced ID from Minnesota for years, but also for a very long time my White Earth tribal ID was higher level of security than my Minnesota state ID, my driver's license.
Wow.
And until I have the enhanced now, which is the upper level, but so like White Earth, and I'm sure some other tribes actually moved in this direction years ago.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too, because depending on how long the line is when I go to New York or travel anywhere, I always use my tribal ID as my ID. Yes. Now, if I have to get through quick and it's a big line, I'll use my Minnesota ID or my real ID. But just to force it, because 99% of the people when I'm in the airport do not know what it is. They have to get a supervisor, and I'm thinking, well, I have time, and this is a teaching moment.
Right. No, I agree with you. I try to use my tribal ID, here it is right here, as much as possible. And I do like that when you're at a bank or somewhere or some other place where you need to present it at TSA. They'll kind of look at it again. And in general, it's been a very long time since I've had anyone sort of try to even move towards refusing it. Mm-hmm. It takes them a second, right, to figure out what it is.
And mine says elder, and I know I don't look that old. Oh,
mine doesn't say elder. It says senior.
Well, if the tribal members had it their way, it would be baby elder.
Right. Well, in my tribe, you're considered elder at 55. That's a lot of tribes are that way. You know, I'll never forget I went into the Minnesota Chippewa Tribes building. So this was probably 10 years ago or close to it. And to get an update to renew my ID. And I handed it to the staffer there from White Earth. And she gets all excited. And she goes, oh, you qualify for your elder's ID. She was all excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. Somehow I wasn't as excited as she was.
Yeah, well, you can go to Goodwill and get a discount at 55 and get a tribal ID. Well, one of the things why it's so young and everything's relative, but nowadays 55 so young, we only lived until we were in our 40s until just recently on the average age. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
It's a sad truth, and I think it's something important for non-Native people and our allies to understand. That's why it's so young, because we didn't live that long. When I graduated from high school in 1978, the average life expectancy for a Native man was 50 years. Wow. And it was also the same year that my dad turned 50.
Wow.
So like, oh, dear, what does that mean? You know, he, you know, blessedly lived to be 89.
Wow.
If he would have, you know, played by the statistics, that would have been the end of his life.
Jeez. And he went through a lot. You know, he was, you know, we get people, new people listening all the time. I wonder if you don't mind telling people what your father did for a long time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And you're always so kind and supportive of him and his memory. But he was an on-air radio personality here in Minneapolis for a number of years at really our biggest station. It's WCCO Radio AM 830. Used to be called the Good Neighbor to the Great Northwest. Yeah. And it's this massive AM station that really touched, it really broadcasted nationally. I mean, you could run across people on the coast or in the south that listened to him. And he was very good. You know, he was very respected. He was so talented. And he really carried his Native identity into these spaces where Native people really hadn't been before. And so he opened a lot of doors and lifted up a lot of other folks. So he had a very high profile here, and which has been helpful to me, thanks, Dad, in my political and professional career. And he was a big part of language reclamation.
Yes.
And the language reclamation movement in the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s. He participated in a number of Ojibwe language tables here. And people to this day, surprisingly young people, will come up to me and tell me that they were at language table with my dad and how helpful he was and what a good speaker he was. And so, you know, he kind of did his part.
Yeah, and I just think it's such a small world, and I don't even know when I found out that Chuck Lilligren was your father, but I remember I have fond memories with my father early in the morning listening to him on the Good Neighbor.
Yeah, my dad was on early mornings for the most part. Some Sundays he had a sports show with Sid Hartman where they would argue. That was very popular. As well, Sid Hartman, a legendary sports broadcaster here in the Twin Cities. And he was also farm director for a number of years. Yeah. And WCCO is a massive agriculture station before the internet and things. And so that's where farmers listen to hear the price of, you know, grain and
School closings. But back in the day when we were young, we didn't close the schools. We went
once in my entire public school career.
I used to tell my students that when we walked to school, my ma would make me a baked potato in the morning. I'd hold it for to keep my hands warm, and then I'd eat it at lunch. And they were really
I've heard that story. Was it uphill both directions?
Exactly. Well, Robert, thanks for stopping in. It's always good to see you and always good to talk. And you have your own legacy, but I love your father's legacy, too. And I appreciate you coming on and talking to our audience.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Trump's bid to end birthright citizenship
has been blocked nationwide.
U.S. District Judge John Kuhnauer has issued a preliminary injunction, meaning the Trump administration cannot deny citizenship to children born on American soil of immigrant parents.
Birthright citizenship is a fundamental constitutional right.
In his ruling, Judge Kuhnauer, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, took the president to task.
The rule of law is, according to him, something to navigate around or simply ignore, whether that be for political or personal gain.
The administration says it plans to appeal. Jeff Poggiola, ABC News, Seattle.
Labor pains in Denver, where 10,000 King Soopers grocery store workers are on strike, claiming unfair labor practices as their union attempts to negotiate a contract. Alabama used nitrogen gas to execute Demetrius Frazier, condemned for the 1991 home invasion rape homicide of a woman in her home in Birmingham. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More trade deals by the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. We told you about the Bucks trading 33-year-old Chris Middleton to the Wizards for two players, Kyle Kuzma and former UWM star Patrick Baldwin. Today, the Bucks sent Baldwin and some cash to the San Antonio Spurs. That opened up a roster spot for Milwaukee, so they traded third-year man Marjon Beauchamp to the Clippers for Kevin Porter Jr., a 24-year-old point guard. Last night, the Bucks added Jericho Sims, a fourth-year center from the Knicks, for guard DeLon Wright. Meanwhile, the Bucks beat the Hornets last night in Charlotte, 112-102. That ended a four-game losing streak. Afterwards, Brooke Lopez talked about when he learned that the team had traded Chris Middleton.
So I wasn't aware of it until Doc mentioned it at a film session, so it definitely hit me as a shock. You know, I've known Chris for a long time now, you know, I've got to know him personally, so I had to fight from tearing up a little bit, honestly. You know, it's an emotional moment for me.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Connor Krieger. Well, the big game is this Sunday, and with that comes funny, maybe outdated, and sometimes horrible commercials. A few brands have already rolled out their commercials, like Pringles, who features Adam Brody, that centers on the fear of running out of Pringles. Michelob Ultra takes us to pickleball, where Willem Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara compete as a team for a glass of Ultra. Catch the commercials and maybe Travis Kelce proposing to Taylor Swift after the Super Bowl. Catch it this Sunday at 5:30 p.m. If you're looking to hit the theaters or stay in, here are a couple movies that are releasing this week. Renner, starring Marcia Gay Harden and Frankie Muniz, is about a computer genius that invents an AI life coach to help him find love. But things change when he accidentally programmed his mother into the code. Kinda Pregnant stars Amy Schumer as Lainey. As her plans to settle down and start a family fall apart, she puts a fake baby bump and tells a lie and accidentally falls for her dream guy. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with a few flurries and snow showers. Lows of 0 to 5 below, a touch breezy. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs close to 20. Snow Friday night and Saturday, several inches possible. Currently, it's 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 2.5 weeks into the Trump administration, we're going to talk to Randy Manner, retired Major General from the U.S. Army, and get some of his impressions. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And, you know, we didn't have time, but we've run in some ads, Haley, on what we're doing Saturday. Maybe you can just tell the audience real quick what we're doing, and then we're going to go to Governor Evers, and then my governor, Wendy Pilot, will be on next.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, yeah, this is something I'm super excited for. I hope you are too, Robert. The Minneapolis Community Connections Conference is this Saturday, February 8th at the Minneapolis Convention Center from 9 to 4 p.m. So it'll be a whole day thing. There's going to be opening ceremony with some performances cultural wise, as well as different food options for lunch. And I think there's like 2,000 vendors or information booths that are going to be there, which is, that's why I'm so excited. So many great community connections to be made at the Community Connections Conference. So come see us. We're booth number 1012 again this Saturday at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
Great. And then I'm going to bring my, we called it a wrap, and it was like a blanket where you sleep, you know, in kindergarten. So I'm going to bring that in case I can, you know, because I usually nap around one or two. So I will
be halfway, halfway point through the day.
Yeah.
Nap.
Cool. Before we get Wendy on, why don't we take a quick listen to our friend from the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers. Let's take
a listen. Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. I declare 2025 the year of the kid in Wisconsin, and making sure our kids are healthy, physically and mentally, is a crucial part of improving outcomes in our classrooms. But we have to connect the dots between school achievement and the challenges our kids are facing at home and in our communities. Take lack of access to clean and safe drinking water, for example. Improving water quality and getting harmful contaminants out of our water is an urgent issue that deserves meaningful investments and bipartisan work. So I've announced several new efforts to combat PFAS and lead, protect kids and families from harmful contaminants, and expand access to safe drinking water. We're getting to work by investing over $145 million to address PFAS contamination across Wisconsin and expanding eligibility for key programs aimed at improving water quality. We're providing funding for emergency resources like bottled water to households and communities impacted by water contamination, and protecting innocent landowners like farmers who unknowingly spread biosolids containing PFAS on their land, and investing in helping clean up that contamination. I also announced we're strengthening PFAS standards statewide by adopting public health-based groundwater standards for six PFAS contaminants. I also approved a rule to strengthen Wisconsinites' lead standards, so more kids and families will be eligible for the critical resources they need, and announced my next budget is also going to include over $6 million to support lead poisoning intervention and response. And finally, we're going to continue our work to help private well owners clean up or replace their contaminated wells. Folks, every Wisconsinite should be able to trust the water coming out of their tap and have access to safe, clean drinking water no matter where they live in our state. So let's get this done with bipartisan support. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow. Thank you, Governor Tony Evers, for that report. A couple things, Wendy, on that. Governor Evers is a former teacher, and which is really cool. And also, our nation, Ho-Chunk Nation, have been talking about the water situation, and one of the best ways to clean up the water, I believe it, what I've been hearing is like if you grow hemp around it, it'll clean the soil up. And that's another reason why we should be talking about this.
Yeah, clean water. Everybody needs it. I know last year, the year before, we got a notice here in St. Paul that there were like minute lead, you know, they were finding like lead in our water. So we got notified, and it was like, well, you know, the lead isn't really there that much, but if you're pregnant or a baby, don't drink the water. So it was like, for me, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Come on. So I got a Brita filter, and Brita actually makes these filters that are specifically for lead. They are a little bit more expensive, but I mean, well, it says it takes 99% of the lead out. So, right.
Well,
I mean, even our dog, I pour her water. I give her the water from the Brita filter. I don't want her having lead. And lead is really a dangerous thing. You know, I mean, it comes from lead shot. You know, hunters go out and they hunt with lead bullets.
Yeah.
The animal gets hit by the lead bullet. The animal might die. Let's say it's a deer.
Mm-hmm.
It gets hit in the hind leg and it's not dead, but it runs off and it goes elsewhere to die. And that lead shot is eaten by other animals. So then those other animals get lead poisoning. And then the lead that's left over gets seeped into the ground. It gets seeped into the water. It's a really, we need to have clean water. I mean, it's like basic.
Do you remember when I was trying to paddleboard? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I couldn't do it.
Oh, on the stand-up board. It's a board, right, yeah. Haley? Right? It's called paddleboarding?
Yeah, paddleboard. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Well, I couldn't do it because I have a lot of lead in me, obviously.
Yeah, lead. Lead in your gut.
Hey. Wait a minute. Do that. Lead in your gut? There we go. Lead in my gut.
Well, Haley sent me a really awesome article that I'm going to talk about in a little bit about eagles, our eagles.
Yeah.
And there's a raptor center here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
At the University of Minnesota, they have a raptor center. And every time I go on there, they have birds of prey that are brought in. And most of the time, the injury is due to lead poisoning.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I thought you were going to say cars. Wow.
Yeah, lead poisoning. Lead poisoning is really big. But here's the article from Haley. So thank you, Haley. I appreciate you sending me this because I wasn't prepared to come on tonight. I was babysitting all day.
It's okay.
My two grandchildren.
From indigenous.tv on Instagram.
Yeah, indigenous.tv. Yeah. So it says at least the bald eagles are thriving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good news. After being at risk for extinction, bald eagles are soaring once again. Meanwhile, the United States is one bad decision away from landing on the endangered species list. Yeah. But I mean, the eagles are doing great. They really are. Amy Klobuchar and Biden signed that they should be doing good. The eagles are no longer on the Endangered Species Act. They are doing very well, but they are not federally listed anymore. In the lower 48 states. However, they are still protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act and the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act. In 1967, the bald eagle was added to the federal list of endangered species. In 1995, the bald eagle was reclassified as threatened. In 2007, the bald eagle was removed from the federal list of endangered and threatened species. The bald eagle's population rebounded due to reduced levels of persistent pesticides,
yes,
like DDT. Mm. That was like the main thing.
It was a big deal. It was soft eggs. Oh,
exactly.
They were laying soft eggs. And I remember, Wendy's from New York, and I haven't really moved from my 5-block radius, and I never saw eagles, and I see them all the time.
Yeah.
Now.
Plus, there's more habitat protection and management action. So the bald eagle is still protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act and the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act. And these laws prohibit killing eagles, selling eagles, harming their nests, and harming their eggs. So,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
That's funny that that article says that the eagles are protected, but the human race isn't now. That's like, no kidding.
Exactly.
Well, and they made the eagle, the bald eagle, the national bird.
Yes.
Which wasn't a thing before, but it is now, thanks to Amy Klobuchar bringing that to the White House.
Yeah, and Haley, she said most people thought that the eagle was the national bird. I thought all along that the eagle was the national bird. It was
Me
just
too.
Not, like, documented. So, yeah.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was at a local park here in St. Paul, kind of South St. Paul along the Mississippi, if anyone's been there. I believe it's called Kapoja Landing. I'm sure it has some great Dakota history to it that I would have to look up. But I went out there recently, and it's great for eagle photography. And wow. When I was out there, there had to have been 50 bald eagles. I think I saw 2 golden eagles.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah, Kapoja Landing, South St. Paul.
You know wow, me, Wendy, years beautiful. Ago, I would have followed those eagles and hoped a feather came off.
Yeah.
Well, talk about, you know, who can have eagle feathers and why.
Yes, Haley, talk about that.
Oh, I was, you know, kind of suggesting you there, Dega, but I know this. We're Eagle Clan, Robert and I, yeah. Ho-Chunk Nation, Wisconsin, and our family, our relatives in Eagle Clan have always been able to have eagle feathers for ceremonial reasons. And I know that as tribal members of sovereign nations here in Turtle Island, you can, there's, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the rules are, but you can, as a native tribal member, take home feathers from
right.
parks or anywhere that you see on in land.
Right. And as a non-tribal member, as a, I guess a civilian, and it's illegal, it's a federal offense if you have a eagle feather. And so that's really interesting, too. One of the things, too, if you can talk to your tribe to get something signed, which I have over the years, you can get eagles that were injured and died. You can get their feathers from
DNR, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. The National, I think.
Yeah. Eagles are killed a lot on the road because they go, you know, if they get the roadkill.
Mm-hmm.
And then cars just run over the eagles. So
yeah. There's a couple times, you know how we are. It's like, oh, look, there's an eagle. And it's like, no, that was a little sparrow.
It was a pigeon.
It's a pigeon. Oh, look, an eagle. Shoot, it's a blackbird. But, you know, I've done that, too, where I've seen roadkill. And I went, what is that? That, you know, and spin around and don't come back. And
yeah, they're magnificent birds.
Yes, they are.
Sure.
All right. Well, Haley is giving us the signal here. We got a minute left, and it's probably less than that.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
How many?
30.
30 whole seconds.
Probably less than that. I just was trying to make a joke. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're here with Wendy, and a great update, and really appreciate you coming by. And I guess we'll talk about some what's happening around the neighborhood here, Haley, in the next segment.
Sounds good, Robert.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Are you planning a gathering for your family, friends, or work? Then reserve a space at the Park Tavern. The Park Tavern offers private and semi-private party spaces, and they can accommodate any size party, large or small. They have bowling, food, and beverage packages for any budget. And remember, there are no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. For more information or to schedule your event, call 952-929-6810 or go to parktavern.net. Make your next get-together the best get-together with help from the Park Tavern.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center. Visit during free Thursday nights. Every week from 5 to 9 p.m., there's something new to explore. Enjoy date-friendly events like artist talks, performances, and exhibition openings, or explore art-making, open library hours, and exhibition tours. Settle into your weekend among community. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Minnesotans are hardy. We don't let snow or ice get in our way. We have places to go, so making sure your vehicle is in prime shape for winter driving is so important. Take your vehicle to Rudy Luther Toyota for all your service needs. I was just there. I got my oil and filters replaced, and they did a complete safety check to make sure my vehicle can tackle winter. And they service all makes and models of vehicles. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com and use their super easy Toyota service schedule to set up your service appointment today. Rudy Luther Toyota on the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Hey, 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 hey.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, good one, Wendy. Hey, welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are on the last segment here of our hour-long show all over Turtle Island, and I really appreciate it. You know, we have a few things here, and I know Wendy had rustled together an animal section, though, so we might be able to relieve her and have her do it tomorrow on her Fun Back Friday. Maybe even do half a show with you, Wendy.
It's not fun facts, it's facts. It's real facts.
Oh, so. Well, maybe we better do it now because you're known for your Fun Fact Friday.
Well, that's totally up to you guys. What do you guys got going on?
Well, maybe Haley can just spit out a few things that's happening locally and then we'll go right into you.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. So I mentioned that Minneapolis Community Connections Conference is Saturday, February 8th from 9 to 4 at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Our booth is 1012. Come see us. I know the weather might get a little wintry on Saturday, so watch that radar and dress warm. Both Saturday and Sunday this weekend, Inde Young Center's 26th annual Cherish the Children Traditional Powwow will be at Johnson Senior High School both Saturday and Sunday. I believe grand entry time Saturday, 1 and 7.
Yeah.
And the feast at 5 p.m. on Saturday, and then Sunday grand entry at 1.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be able to make the feast run over there after my nap.
Yeah, definitely the 7 p.m. grand entry after the conference, for sure. What else is going on? Sunday, February 9th, we've got an annual Native Lovers Craft Affair Market. This will be from noon to 4 p.m. at Eagle and Condor Native Wellness Center. That address is 790 7th Street East, St. Paul. You can go get those beautiful gifts for your Valentine's sweetheart or, of course, yourself.
That's Wendy.
You better get over there, Robert.
That place in Minneapolis.
Oh my God!
The vegan store.
Oh.
And get me some vegan chocolate.
I thought you were going to say a different place.
Oh no! I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell me after the show.
Yeah. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, and she's had the sacred animal portion of our show for over into our ninth season, and she's an original. Founding member of Native Roots Radio. Welcome back, Wendy.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. My name is Hana Jihihani, and as everybody knows, I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds, and I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, so I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So two things happened to me today. You know, something every single day at least happens to me where animal issues or something is pops into my head, or it's brought up, or I see it on social media or talk to somebody. So today I was talking to somebody. So this person is a friend of mine, and she was asking me about hormone replacement therapy, and she wanted to start a drug called Premarin, which is like an estrogen. So really quickly, women, postmenopausal women, lose estrogen. You could replace that estrogen with estrogen products or synthetic products, but estrogen, which she didn't know. So she just asked me about the drug. So I was like, well, it's not for me, not something that I would take, only because the Premarin, how it is, the estrogen they get it is from pregnant mares. So female horses, they impregnate the female horse, and then through getting the urine from the pregnant horse, that's where the estrogen is taken. And then the estrogen is taken and is made into pills and other forms of estrogen that women can use for hormone replacement. Now, this person I was talking to was just shocked and never heard of it. Of course, nobody's heard about it, because if everyone knew where estrogen was derived from, so they get these horses, these female horses, they impregnate them. While they're pregnant, they take their urine, they wear urine bags, and their urine is taken, and then the estrogen is used to make these products. After the foal, the baby horse is born. If it's a female horse, lots of times they'll just have that horse grow up and be one of these estrogen horses. Or if it's a male horse, literally it gets thrown on a pile and the animal dies. So this is the horrid, cruel industry where estrogen, specifically the drug Premarin, is made from. So I just want people to be aware of that. The other thing is Haley is an artist. I'm an artist. We use Robert has a heart of an artist.
Yeah.
And just tonight, so I'm Facebook friends and on social media, I'm friends with a lot of these artist groups. So just tonight, there were these paintbrushes, and they were fine line paintbrushes. And on the ad of the page, you know, it shows this artist like making these little tiny fine lines and, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, these brushes would be perfect for me, what I'm working on right now. I could definitely use those. Let me go on and check it out. So the first thing I do is look, well, what is the paintbrush made of, right? Because I try my best. I mean, I do my best, and I try not to use animal products as much as possible or products that are tested on animals. I mean, I'm not 100%, but... So anyway, I found out that these paintbrushes and the hairs of the paintbrush were made from sable. So if anybody knows what sable is. So sable is a weasel. Weasel's whiskers and weasel hair. Yeah. So again, you know, they put this beautiful name, sable. It's made of sable.
Yeah.
Ooh, sable. Meanwhile, they're ripping the hairs out of the weasel's faces to make these paintbrushes so that artists can paint. I use synthetic brushes always. That's like, as soon as I go to buy a new brush, I make sure it's synthetic hair, and they work just fine. They work just great. A sable brush is not going to do anything. It's not going to make you a better artist, you know?
Right.
And again, like I say, I'm not 100%. I do my best. I have my Cruelty Cutter app, which is on my phone. It's free. So go to Cruelty Cutter, and you could download the app on your phone, and you could scan the barcodes of all different kinds of items, especially cosmetics, and you could check to see if they're tested on animals or not.
Nice.
So I try, you know, always to do that, shampoo, conditioner, hair, you know, I don't use any hairspray, but, you know, all my products, my face products, my lotions and creams and everything I use. Of course, the thing where I get stuck is like, I'm not going to not get my vaccinations, right? I'm not going to not get my shingles vaccine and my pneumonia and the COVID vaccines and my flu shot. I'm not going to not do that because I'd be dumb, right? But all of those things are tested on animals, which is really unfortunate because we already know a lot of stuff. And the industry can change, but... testing on animals is a big industry. I mean, there's these...
Well, the U of M, we've talked about that many times with
there's
the Beagles.
A lot of, they test on animals. It's a big business. That's a whole nother can of worms.
That's another story.
Yeah, that's like a whole nother segment where we could talk about that another time. But
well, I have a joke for maybe closer if you want to.
I would love a joke.
Want to lighten things up here before the end of the show. She was at some...
Who?
Amy Klobuchar.
Oh, she.
Was at Washington Press Club Foundation and speaking, and she was getting booed off the stage because of all the Republican workers were there. And she said... speaking of Greenland, there's a question for you. You want to pose, what's the difference between Greenland and Donald Trump? And she said, Greenland is not for sale.
Okay. There you go.
Yep.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Super Bowl preview party with Brady Ewing and Mike Clemens, and also Peter Rapine gives us a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Federal workers' associations are suing to stop the Trump administration from slashing staff at the U.S. Agency for International Development. Randy Chester of the American Foreign Service Association.
We have received notification that as of Friday at 11:59 p.m., the remaining number of employees on active duty, both civil service and foreign service, will be 294. The rest of the service will be furloughed and put on administrative leave pending what we assume will be a reduction in force.
A federal judge in Seattle imposed a preliminary injunction blocking the administration from ending birthright citizenship. Alabama executed Demetrius Frazier, condemned for the 1991 home invasion rape homicide of a woman. The state used nitrogen gas to suffocate Frazier to death, the fourth execution of that kind, first in Alabama this year and third in the U.S. in 2025. This is ABC News.
I'm James.